Hi, you're listening to the Well Podcast, living water for a thirsty world. Join us every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock and 10:30.
We've been talking about sight and sound, and today we talk about taste, but maybe in a way you might not expect. Our scripture lesson today comes from the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and it's the angel Gabriel announcing to Mary that she will give birth to a son. So I invite us all to stand together as we read our scripture lesson today. It's Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 33. So we have a few verses to read together. Let us read. Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It was about 10 years or so ago, right around this time of year, Christy and I experienced our first ever Christmas Eve service as a married couple. And we were holding our candles high and singing Silent Night and looking at each other. Oh, how beautiful is this? And we were leaving the sanctuary holding hands, and we get in the car and we're driving away, and I look at her and say, "Oh, I love you." And she looks back, "I love you too." And you know, I said, I love Christmas Eve service. I just love this service. "Me too. It's beautiful, isn't it?" "Yes." And I said, I'm so excited because we get to go home and open presents, and I can't wait to share that with you. And she looked back. "We don't open presents on Christmas Eve. We open them on Christmas Day." What? I've spent my entire life. I'm sitting in the Christmas Eve service with my candle in the air singing Silent Night, and it's a window into my own soul. I'm like, "Opening presents soon will be all this." I'm thinking, "Oh, this is awesome. We're going to get home." And then I get into the car, and then in one fell swoop, all of that, And someone asked me after the early service, "So when do you open presents now?" And I said, "On Christmas Day," because I'm not a smart man, but I learn real quick, right? Christmas Day. We're talking about taste today, but not necessarily the taste that you would experience around the table. We're talking about the taste of anticipation, because I was in the house Wednesday, and I said, "Oh, Christmas is so close, I can taste it." And I said, "Ooh," and I wrote that down, the taste of anticipation. This time of year, Advent is a season of waiting. It's a season in which we enter into a time of patience. It's strange. We know the story of Jesus. We've heard the story of Jesus, but yet we come together and gather saying we are waiting for Jesus. It's the strange time of tension, isn't it? We know that Jesus will be born, but yet we gather and worship awaiting Jesus. It's a time of tension. Christmas is so close, we can taste it. And no one knows this tension better than Mary, Jesus' mother. On the third Sunday of Advent, typically we light the pink candle. The order is purple, purple, pink, purple, white. It's the Sunday of Mary. Back in the day, old school church, 14th-ish century and prior, they would bring roses to church because it was the day that the priest would be talking about Mary, which is why we have a pink candle instead of a purple candle. So purple, purple, pink. So you can sound smart at the water cooler, Monday. Purple, purple, pink, purple, white. We're talking about Mary. She knows this tension of the year. The angel Gabriel came to her and said, "You will give birth to a son, and he will be the Son of the Most High, and he will be a king, and his kingdom will have no end." And I imagine that she was filled with this sense of glory, this sense of awe and wonder. Except that she would then have to call Joseph, even though that they were not yet married, and tell him, "Look, the angel came to me last night and told me that I was pregnant." She would have to tell Joseph. How would her family react to this? It was a sense of glory and awe, but it was also a sense maybe of shame and disappointment from her family. Two sides of this coin, this tension of this glorious news, but also the shame that it might bring. Isn't that true about blessings? Nowhere in the Bible does it say that blessings are easy to swallow, right? People say children are such a blessing. I said, yes. Nowhere does it say blessings are easy to swallow or manage. Typically, you know that you've been blessed by God when something really amazing has happened to you, but you also need God's help in seeing it done. Mary, you're going to give birth to God. You're going to give birth to God. You're also going to need God's help to see it through. This glory and shame. Also, this child is going to bring about light in the midst of darkness. And I imagine that Mary was filled with excitement of being a parent. I know that when we had Isabel, there was this excitement of, oh my God, we're parents. How crazy is this? And I'm changing a diaper and she's making these weird sounds. And it's this beautiful, wonderful, exciting time. Then they let you leave the hospital with another human being. And there's something that feels very, like, wrong about that. Like, you're just letting us leave with a human being that we're going to be taken care of. And it's just, so it's excitement, but it's also sheer terror at times of this crazy, amazing, there's a tension there. There's a tension that I'm sure that Mary felt, especially when it came time to give birth to the child with no midwives, no hospital. It's her and Joseph with a bunch of animals. Excitement, but maybe a sense of terror and fear. It is by no accident that the angel first says, "Fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." Now, when Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph took the child to the temple to be circumcised and to be presented before Simeon, who was leader of the temple at that time. And they presented Jesus, and Simeon essentially says, this child is God's gift to the world. Now, as a parent, of course, I feel that my children are God's gift to the world. And before you disagree with you feeling that way about yours, this feeling bubbles up and is apparent when, let's say, Timmy is on the bench when the rest of the team is playing, or maybe Jane didn't get the spotlight dance at the ballet, and that teacher is not aware of the talent that my child and only my child has. We all, in a way, feel that our child is God's gift to the... But imagine Simeon, someone who's not related to you or your grandmother, looking at your child and saying, this child is God's gift to the world. And this is what Simeon says, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." And they present the child, and it's this amazingly joyous news. Can you imagine? Your child is going to change the world. But then Simeon looks at Mary and says, this child is going to cause the fall and the rise of many, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. So along with this amazingly joyous news, I imagine that there's a bit of sorrow as well that she felt. Advent is a time of tension. It's a time of, it's here, but not yet. It's the agony of waiting. It's the agony of waiting, the bitter sweetness of anticipation that no one understood as well as Mary. This child, what will this child bring? Will this child bring glory or shame to my family? Excitement or terror as a parent? Amazing joy or unbearable sorrow? The agony of waiting. The Advent season is a season of waiting, and sometimes this is hopeful and wonderful news. That the church gives you permission to slow down and stop. This time of year is so busy. We're having parties and we're wrapping things and school is finishing and there's a concert to go to or an end of the year thing. We're so busy in this time of year and church is saying, no, stop, Wait. Slow down. Live into that patient moment. Sometimes this is a joy. That, sorry, my preacher told me I had to wait. And you sit and stop and pause. But sometimes it's also a bit nerve-wracking to wait and not do something. So for just a moment, for 2 minutes, we're going to sit in silence. We're going to live into that moment of anticipation, that moment of patience, that Advent moment of waiting. And I'm going to time it. I promise, Craig, I'll time it. Unlike the sermon, I'll time this part of the sermon. We're going to sit together in silence and let us enter into Advent patience. Is this time a blessing to you? Maybe this was the most unnerving thing you've done all week, to sit and be still and not do anything. I don't know about you, but our household growing up in the Rawl family in Slido was an absolute circus. We were going here and there, and we had piano lessons and ballet lessons and baseball practice, and Mom was feverishly trying to get dinner done, and Dad was trying to get home from the office so that we can all come together and then go to church, or we can all come together and go to this thing. We were always on the move. We were so busy, and I wonder if maybe we fill our lives with so many things because if we didn't stay busy, we might not know how to be with each other. I wonder if we fill up our schedules each and every day, not because we have things to do, but maybe we are filling our schedules simply for the sake of being busy. So that because if we're not busy, then brothers and sisters have to get along and play with each other. Husband and wife have to sit and talk about their day, spend time with each other. When we have to wait, when we have to slow down, we become vulnerable because there's no longer any distractions. We become vulnerable because those things are no longer a roadblock. We can't hide behind baseball practice anymore. We can't hide behind work at the office anymore. We're looking at each other in the eye, maybe relearning for the first time how to be with each other. When we slow down, we become vulnerable because we are waiting. When we wait, what we're doing is we're making room in our soul for a holy and right desire. When we wait, we're making room in our soul for a holy and right desire. One way of looking at this is when you see a child walk by the Christmas tree and they notice a new package there, and they kneel down and they just kind of hang out there for a minute. You know, I think that's a PlayStation 4. I'm not sure, but I think. And maybe they linger at the present. What they're doing, in a small ways, they're making room in their life for whatever that is. Whatever it is, they're making room. What is that? How am I going to use that? When we stop and when we wait and when we're patient, we're making room in our soul for holy and right desire. The beautiful thing about Advent is that it gives us permission to slow down. The world wants us to speed up this time of year. Sale ends on Friday. Limited supply. The world wants us to speed up and move faster. But the church is saying, no, slow down. Fill yourself with the holy anticipation so that you can make room in your soul for God who will be soon here on earth. It is the agony of waiting. It's that feeling on Christmas Eve when you soon will go home and spend time with family and friends and open presents on either that evening, which only the pagan families do, that maybe you that anticipation of the morning when you open presents, or you can't sleep, you can't hold your eyes shut because of what's going to happen, that sense of anticipation. This is why we celebrate Advent each and every year, so that we can mold and shape the desire that we have for the stuff under the tree, so that we can have a shape and desire for Christ who is placed on the tree. I'll say that again. We celebrate Advent each year so that we can mold and shape the desire that we have for the stuff under the tree into a desire for Christ who is placed upon it, placed on the tree. We waste time with each other so that we may immerse ourselves in the bitter, sweet, vulnerable taste of anticipation. And I pray that this waiting is a blessing to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.